think we need a bigger stand. I'm a paper Bible man and takes up a bit of space. I was hoping Chad was going to be here. I wanted to tell him I enjoyed his sermon last week. He talked about his first sermon lasting about 5 minutes, and I think all of us that stand up here sometimes wonder about that. Is it going to last more than 5 minutes? Hopefully today it'll last more than 5 minutes. If not, then we'll just go home early. That's okay. I got to thinking about some of the leaders in the Old Testament when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about. We think about Abraham, one of the great leaders in the Old Testament. And I think God chose Abraham because of his faith. In fact, I know that's true because that's what the scriptures tell us. Abraham had a great faith and was willing to leave the land he was in and go wherever God directed him. And I think of Joseph, a young man who is sold into captivity by his brothers. Joseph was a very unusual young man. He always rose to the top. You've heard the saying that cream rises to the top. Well, it didn't matter what situation Joseph was in, he always rose to the top. From being sold to the Ishmaelites, he was sold to Potiphar. He rose to the top in Potiphar's household. Until a wicked woman, Potiphar's wife, lied about him. And then he ended up in prison. When he was in prison, he rose to the top again. And from there, after telling the Pharaoh his dream, he rose to the top once more and became second in the land. And then I think about David, and David's one of my favorites because I think I'm a lot like David in some ways. Here's a young shepherd boy out in the fields watching over his father's flock when he's chosen by God to be the king over Israel. God chose David because he said David was a man after his own heart. And I've often thought about exactly what that meant. Because David was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But I think what God was saying about David is that David always turned back to God. It didn't matter what situation he was in. I think we can see that in the Psalms when we read some of the Psalms that David wrote. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I think you can just see in David his dependence on God. And the other thing about David is when he did wrong, he repented. I think God knew in advance when he picked each one of these men, and there's a lot of men that we could talk about in the Old Testament that God chose, but I think all of them had certain qualities that God saw in their lives before even they saw those qualities. You know, I don't think anybody in this room is going to be an Abraham or a Joseph or David. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't chosen us, that he hasn't given us special talents which we can use. Now I look around the room and I see a lot of talent in this room. We can see the talent because we have someone different speaking every Sunday. That's very unusual. In fact, I've never gone to a church that did that. And yet, each person that stands here, I always enjoy their sermon because they have a different outlook on Scripture than I might have. But I want us to look at a different character today in the Bible. And his name is Daniel. And I think Daniel has some very good characteristics. Characteristics that we should have in our lives. If you would like, you can turn with me to Daniel, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to talk about those verses some. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aspenza, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of the time, they were to stand before the king. Among those were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishaelah, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah, and the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah, and he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. I don't know if I pronounced all those names right. If you can pronounce them better than I can, good for you. But I do the best I can when I come up on names like that. If it was Mike or Joe or Jim or whatever, I think that'd work better for me. But anyway, yes. They first give their Hebrew names, and then they give the names that they were given in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course, Daniel. Okay, let's look at the verses a little bit. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. We all remember David being king over Israel, and remember his son Solomon then being king over Israel. But after Solomon, the kingdom split. Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, made some bad decisions, and because of the decisions he made, 10 of the tribes split off. Jeroboam became king over those 10 tribes, and he set up another religion. He did that so that they would continue to be under him and not go back to Jerusalem where the temple was. Rehoboam remained king over two of the tribes. The tribes were Benjamin and Judah. Now, when we're talking about Daniel, Daniel comes from the tribe of Judah. So, what happened was over the years, these two tribes got farther and farther and farther away from God, until finally God said, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to punish them. And so he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take over the land. Now, when he did that, he did some other things. And it said here, he had his chief eunuch bring some of the people back to Israel. That's Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. At least those four were brought back, we know, because the names are given. But why did he do that? Why was he bringing these young men back? Well, I think probably he was redirecting their minds. Now, notice he chose those from the royal family and those from noble families. Why would he do that? Well, I think he did that because they were already educated. Those from the royal family or the nobility would have already learned to read and write. And he's going to take them to Babylon and he's going to have them learn the history of the Babylons. He's going to have them learn the language of Babylon, the literature of Babylon. He's going to have them learn those things. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to take young men who were already educated, because they only got 3 years to do this. Okay, so he takes them back. The other thing we find out is they were good looking. These were nice looking men. In other words, he only chose the best. Daniel was of good character. And we know that because the scripture says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Where's that coming from? Well, Daniel is a Jew. He has been brought up in the Jewish traditions. And one of the things that God did in the Old Testament is he told them what they could and could not eat. I'm not going to go into all of those. One of my favorite things to eat is catfish. Well, Daniel couldn't eat catfish. That's off the list. And he couldn't eat pork. That was off the list. But when he gets to Babylon, and he's chosen as one of these that's to learn, it said, the scripture said that the king was going to feed them off of his own table. So they were going to eat the same food that the king ate. And they were going to drink the same drink the king drank. So Daniel goes to the eunuch who's in charge of them, and he said, we really don't want to eat that. I think that took a lot of gumption to begin with, just to say that. But anyway, he goes to the eunuch and he says, we don't want to eat that. He doesn't tell him why. He just says, we don't. Just let us eat vegetables and we'll drink water. And we'll do this for 3 days and then we'll come back and you can look at us and see how we're doing. And that's what happened. They came back and they looked good. They looked great. They looked better than the ones that were eating from the king's table. In verse 9, if I can find it here, it said, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. God gave Daniel favor and compassion. Why? Why did he favor Daniel? Well, I think he favored Daniel because of what Daniel had done in refusing the food from the king's table by continuing to keep the law as he knew it, even though he's in a foreign land. One of my favorite movies, or several movies, is Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. My wife loves Harry Potter. I've read all the books. I've seen all the movies over and over and over again. And if they come on television, my wife and I are going to sit there. A lot of people say, well, you shouldn't be looking at that. It's about witchcraft. No, it's fantasy is what it's about. It's about good against evil. But there's a section in there where Harry's talking to Dumbledore, who is over the school. Actually, Harry's been killed by Voldemort at this particular time, and so this is afterlife, and they're sitting there talking, you know, and they're all white, and everything around them is white. But Dumbledore says, Hogwarts, that's the name of the school, will always help those who are deserving. Hogwarts will always help those who are deserving. God will always favor those who honor him. When we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, Chris is talking to the young man about finances, really, but he's using scripture to go along with that. But God will favor us. We were talking about giving this morning, okay? And there are several scriptures that Chris had them read that shows that when you give to God out of your heart, he will favor you. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems or anything like that. It just means that he's going to favor you. It also says that Daniel had favor with Nebuchadnezzar, because in 3 years, the eunuch brings them to see Nebuchadnezzar. In verses 18 and 19, it says, at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So why did the king find favor with these four young men? I think you have to go back to some of the things we've already talked about. Excuse me. I think because they continued to honor God, even if they were in Babylon. And because they honored God, then God favored them. I think Daniel has certain qualities. Three of those are integrity, loyalty, and consistency or character. Where did he get integrity? I think he got it from God's law. I think that as a young man in Jerusalem, he had learned God's law. And I think he took that law and he acted that out in his everyday life. Integrity. I looked that word up. It says firm adherence to a code of morals or values. Firm adherence to a code of morals and values. I look at our country today and I see that we are losing our values. We are losing our morals. You can just look around. I read the paper every morning. If my nerve is working, I take it to McDonald's or the Crystal and read it. If she's not, I read somebody else's or I read it on my Nook. But anyway, I read the other day that an attorney was appointed to a conservatorship. You know what that is? You got somebody out there who has no family. They can't take care of themselves. So the court appoints somebody to take care of them. Okay? This attorney charged her ward $195 to $225 $5 an hour for legal fees for performing non-legal services. Somebody that can't take care of themselves, she's got control of this person's money, and she's charging them $195 to $225 an hour. She charged one woman $986 to accompany her to a performance of Handel's Messiah. I don't imagine the lady wanted to go at all. The attorney wanted to go. She took the lady with her, and she charged her for going. Then she charged her ward $1,282 for a shopping trip and lunch. And she hired her own family members and paid for them from the ward's money. Do you see any integrity in this woman? I certainly don't see any integrity in her. And you can read the paper every day and see something like this. If it's not something like this, then it's some government official who has stolen money from us. You can see that in the Sumner paper. I read that too. We have lost our integrity as far as television, movies, and music is concerned. I can remember, first of all, I can remember when we didn't have televisions. We had radios, and I listened to the radio. They had a man, I can't remember his name, I'm sure some of you can, that was fired because he used a cuss word. One word, and he got fired. Nowadays, they cuss all the time on radio, television, movies. My mother, who is 93 years old, she watches the news. Oh, it went out of my mind. There's a program where they have dance music and all. But anyway, and she says she didn't watch anything else because it's just sex, sex, sex. And she's right. There are a lot of shows I just won't watch because it's sex, sex, sex. That's what the program built around. Well, that's it. 2.5 Men? I don't watch that. I got a brother-in-law who thinks it's the funniest thing in the world, but it's just sex, sex, sex. That's what it's all about. Then we have TV programs and movies that make out that gay marriage is okay, that abortion is okay. Our country is losing its integrity. So how do we change our country? I think the first thing we have to do is we have to start with ourselves. That's the first thing. We have to change our lives, change the way we live, what we watch on TV and the movies, change the music we listen to. I didn't get into music a minute ago. I kind of went by it, but some of the music you hear out there is just absolutely terrible. This rap, a lot of that stuff, first of all, I don't consider that music. But anyway, they talk about killing the police and they use cuss words in it. I mean, it's just terrible. But if we are going to change our world, the United States, we have got to change ourselves. We've got to have the qualities that Daniel had. We must lead the way. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. So what kind of light are we showing the world? When the world looks at us, they see Jesus. So what are they seeing when they look at us? If we're doing the same things they're doing, well, obviously, we're not doing our job. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their nation. So, based on these scriptures, what must we do? First, we must humble ourselves. We must realize that God is in control. We must realize that we can't do it without God. We need God's help. Second, we must pray. Prayer must become a part of our lives. And I kind of fall short on this one. I did a lot better when I was working because I had a certain time I did it every morning. But since I'm retired, I don't have that same habit. And I think a lot of us, I'm talking about myself, we need to find a time every day to pray. We need to make prayer a part of our lives. Whatever we're doing, it needs to be a part of our lives. You can go to God at any time. I've often said, the shortest prayer in the Word is help. It is. You don't have to have a lot of words. God knows what you need. And third, we must seek God's face. We must seek God's will in our lives. I think that's what David tried to do. Even though he sinned, he was seeking God in his life. And I think we need to seek God in our lives. We can do that by a number of ways. We can read the Word. We can study the Word. We can have Bible classes. I think these are all ways that we seek God. And I think we seek God through prayer. And fourth, we must turn from our evil ways. If we have sin in our lives, then we must repent and we must stop doing whatever is causing that sin. After David had committed adultery and killed Bathsheba's husband, and the prophet came to him, he repented. And I think that's one thing that God looked at David favorably about. He repented. Did he have to suffer the consequences? Yes. Sin has consequences. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. Certain things we're going to reap. I want to turn over now to chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Okay, a different king. At this time in Daniel's life, he's probably between 70 and 80 years old. I turned 70 last Saturday, so I'd be about the age of Daniel when this all happens. And he set up his kingdom. He had 120 satraps. I would think that would be like governors over our states. Then he had three high officials who were administrators. The administrators are over the satraps, and they're all under the king. And their job was to see that the king suffered no loss. I think that included probably in their job being sure that the taxes were collected to keep the kingdom going. You know, there's another young man in the Bible, and I've already talked about it, that's similar to Daniel, Joseph. We talked about Joseph being sold into slavery, going into prison, and ending up second in the land. All right, Daniel wasn't sold into slavery. He was just taken into slavery, and he ends up second in the nation, only to the king. And why does he end up second in the nation? The qualities we've talked about. That's why he ends up. He had some other qualities too, and some of these kind of go together. He was distinguished. In chapter 1, we found Daniel met all the qualities the king had said. He was of noble birth, he was good looking, and he was educated. 2, in addition to those qualities, he had a good character, refusing to eat from the king's table. 3, he had an uncanny wisdom, allowing him to make practical judgments. We might call this common sense. It's not just enough to know things. You have to have common sense. He was able to overcome difficulties. He had been taken from his family to live in a foreign country. He was required to learn a new language and customs. Daniel was an exceptional young man in being able to do that and go into another country and learn a language in 3 years and learn all that he needed to learn. And he was trustworthy with no corruption in him. We find later on in the story that the king wants to elevate Daniel over the other two officials and be second in the land. Why? Because he was trustworthy. You read in the scriptures here that they could not find anything to bring against Daniel. Daniel was blameless in his office. Boy, if we had some politicians like that nowadays. Unfortunately, I don't think all of our politicians are blameless. Who do you trust? Who do you really trust? Talk about trustworthy. We try to teach the young men in scouts. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly. There's 10 of them. Trustworthy. Who do you really trust? Do you trust your government, the representatives in Congress and the Senate? Unfortunately, I don't trust them. I think most of the time they're out for their interest or someone else's. Whoever can give them the most money so they can be reelected again. I don't trust them. Do you trust those that you work with? Some people you probably could. There are a lot of them that step over anybody to get that higher position. Do you trust those who claim to be your friends? Some people claim to be your friends, and then when you really need them, they're not around. And do you trust those you do business with? The plumber that comes to your house, an electrician or whatever, do you really trust them? We need to be trustworthy, like Daniel was trustworthy. When people look at us, they need to see somebody they can trust. And us more than anybody else, because we are members of the Lord's body. And people are looking at us. Because of these qualities, the king wanted to place him over the whole kingdom. We find that in verse 3 of chapter 6. In verse 4 we find, then the officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regards to the kingdom, but they could find no grounds for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error our fault was found in him. He was an upright man. He did his job the way it should be done. He didn't cheat. He was blameless. Why would they want to find fault? I think that's power. They didn't want Daniel over them. I think it was just plain old power. And we got a lot of people that just want power, and they'll do anything they can to get that power. We're not supposed to be that way. Why were they unable to find fault in his dealings? Because of his integrity, his loyalty, and his character. Daniel had not been disloyal in his dealings with the king. What about us? If we were put in the situation that Daniel was in, would they be able to find us trustworthy in our dealings with others, with our employers, with our family? We need to pattern our lives after Daniel so that no one can bring an accusation against us truthfully. One of the requirements for elders that he be blameless. Does that mean he's without sin? No. Everybody sins. But you should do your best as a Christian to be seen by the world as blameless. So they couldn't get to him that away, so how are they going to get to him? His religion. Now his religion was different, I'm sure, from theirs. Again, he was a Jew. So his religion was different. You may have people come against you because of your religion. But we've got to remember that God is in control and he's fighting the battle for us. Do we have the qualities that Daniel had in his life? Do we truly believe in God's power, might, and purity as Daniel did? And if we do, does the world see it in our lives? Daniel was despised not because he was a bad fellow, but because he stood for the truth. He didn't cheat on his wife. He didn't cheat on his work. He didn't cheat. He was blameless. The fact that he had discipline in his life was the foundation of their plot. We don't have time to read the rest of the story, but we know that they had the king make an edict that for 30 days nobody was to worship or bow down to anybody but the king. And Daniel went home, as was his custom, and prayed 3 times a day. That's how they tried to go and get him. He ends up in the lion's den, not because the king wants him there. In fact, the king tried everything he could think of to get Daniel out of the lion's den, but because he had made this edict and Daniel had disobeyed, he was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel prayed when he felt good, and he prayed when he didn't feel good. He prayed even when it might get him in trouble. Prayer simply had become a way of life. We know that Daniel was not eaten by the lion. God kept him from being eaten. And the king was really pleased when this was all over that he wasn't eaten. But he took care of those that had been against Daniel. So what do we find in Daniel's life? We find integrity, loyalty, consistency, honesty, blamelessness. He was distinguished. These are all qualities that we as Christians need. Now, unlike Chad, I had a lot more notes, but I've taken long enough. I hope you found something out of the lesson. I do think we need to pattern our lives after Daniel, and that we need to have these qualities in our life. If there are those that have not become a member of the Lord's family, we are going to sing an invitation song and give you that opportunity. If there are those who need the prayer of the congregation and would like to come forward, you can do that at the same time. Let us stand and sing.
Four seventy. I heard an old story. our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life to Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bound me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. About an angel singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bound me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Please be seated.